We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code KATE.
We're talking politics today. Caffeine, you're on the bench. Xanax, suit up. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
So let's talk about your court cases that are currently in play. You've actually filed emergency requests to the Supreme Court to decertify the 2020 election results, to prevent the electors from casting their votes in, I think, four states now. Is that,
yes.
Can you kind of break that down for me, please?
Yes, we've filed suits for the process in Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Arizona, because all those were fatally flawed by massive fraud in every manner and means you can think of, but especially insidious and troubling is the machine fraud conducted through the Dominion voting systems. Just are lying through their teeth, or they're deliberately ignorant, or willfully blind to the truth. And frankly, they're part of the problem. I mean, a lot of the people who are saying there's no evidence are part of the problem and know damn well that all this happened and may have even instigated it, benefited from it, paid for it, encouraged it.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. So happy to have you on board from all over this great nation and in foreign lands as well. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hello, hello.
And that was Sidney Powell answering on all the other cases going on. We might have some splitting of the Electoral College going on. Looks like it might happen there in Nevada. All kinds of different places. We even have GOP being blocked in Michigan to go in with the Electoral College vote. So this is going to get very interesting. We probably could see some various things coming down and some surprises on January 6th from the fallout of today. Also, can states actually say we're not going to certify the votes and we're not going to send them, which would then make them null and void? Yes, that is possible too. I talked to Chris Anhall before the show. Very, very possible that states could say no to that. So welcome to the show. We have Dr. Duke Pesta. Always happy to hear from Dr. Duke Pesta. And by the way, Sidney Powell also offered up that one of the most egregious problems with that Dominion software was the fact that it was on the CIA servers, our own CIA. Then again, pointing to the CIA as the culprit of so many crimes they've instigated in our history. But wow, this would be one of foreign interference as well, since these servers are located outside of America and we only have one little address in Florida for Dominion. Welcome to the show, Dr. Duke Pesta. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing today, Kate?
Excellent, excellent. So what was your outlook waking up this morning trying to assess what is going on with America? How are you feeling this morning?
Well, it's been defeat after defeat. You know, everything that everybody is supposed to be on our side isn't. I find it very hard to think that with what we've seen so far that anything dramatic is going to happen. I mean, when the three Supreme Court justices who Donald Trump put on the bench all refused to even listen, this doesn't bode well. The media, the tech companies, everything is aligned against this. I've perhaps been the most skeptical of the three of us going back before the election.
Mm-hmm.
The skeptical part of me is already settling into what's going to be a complete disaster of a year coming up. And, it's hard to be hard to be terribly upbeat when you consider that we're not even in the January already. Trump has not even ceded the presidency to Biden. And some of the things that are coming down the road in terms of cabinet appointments, things that are coming around down the road in terms of national vaccine cards.
Yeah.
I still am staggered by the idea that you can't have, under any circumstances, you are not allowed to have IDs for voting. And even if we gave them to you, states like Pennsylvania will ignore that. No, everybody's fine with that. Counting votes to see who's going to govern us, under no circumstances should we even require ID. And yet for this vaccine stuff, you watch how quickly everybody's carrying their vaccine card around. Or they're not. It's not just schools and hospitals that you'll be kept out of. I think corporations who are driving much of this negative change, you're not going to be able to go into their stores. So you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store. So it's going to be – watch how quickly, if we do get to the point in January – when net neutrality is gone in the first couple of months, where the SEC is completely redirected to start doing what the tech companies. Look, if the corporations are already censoring forms of media that they deem dangerous, people who challenge the election, people who challenge the vaccine, people who think that Donald Trump won the election, I mean, you're telling me now with big corporations doing it, the FCC is not going to turn around and do it too? And what faith do you have in a Supreme Court that doesn't even want to listen to the possibility that there is fraud? What makes you think that when the chips are down, they're going to vote any better than they've been voting so far? It just seems like a real long shot to me.
Well, and I have to say, I mean, some of the news is you're right. It's so extremely discouraging. Biden saying, you know, what he's going to do is going to do for diversity, but appointing this black military guy for DOD puts us again into the war spectrum again. This for the Democrats for so long to be anti-war and to have Biden come along to only say that the war is just right back on the table again, especially in the Middle East. And these areas of target, if I were a country that would be on that target list, I'd be very nervous right now because they actually have to have a waiver for him because he's coming in from the military. There's not enough time between in lapsing in his career, just like Mattis,
right?
Where they have to put in this guy for DOD. So his appointments are very interesting, who he's got on board, and it says we're going to be at war again very, very soon.
Well, I'll let Milty hop in here in just a second. I just would round it out by saying, look at two more nations now recognize Israel, two more Islamic nations. You would think that if any other president had done this, this would be wall-to-wall news. And it's not even, nobody even knows.
I know.
I mean, they have so under the table. And you watch in the 20th, in the next century, excuse me, in the new year, I should say, you watch how quickly the Biden administration takes credit for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that Trump had done will be eradicated. They're already taking account. Everything that's going well is because we elected Biden. Mm-hmm. They're already burying and rewriting the history of Donald Trump. That's highly problematic, but that's what's coming down the road here. And how about this? Now, if there's one thing that this election did, is it demonstrated to what degree the Chinese government has already infiltrated this country at the highest levels of government, at the highest levels of our intelligence committees, at the highest levels of our university and school system. This is really flushed out just how overwhelming the Chinese communist presence is and how much influence they have in this country, almost every aspect of what we do. And nobody seems to be the least bit shook or bothered by that. You know the Republicans, the lawyer for for Biden's son isn't playing ball. Why would he? Why would the lawyers for Joe Biden and his son Hunter say anything until Joe's president, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of we had 4 years of non-investigations, right? 4 years where people like Barr they waited, they dawdled, they didn't investigate. Those few investigates they did do, we were promised the moon and nothing ever came from it. Not a single arrest, not one arrest, not one conviction. Not one meaningful thing. And so when Biden takes power, the question becomes, none of this is going to be investigated. And it goes right down the memory hole.
Yeah.
So this, to me, as I said before to you guys, that if it does turn out that Biden is president, I see no way back. I see no way back anything like America prior to this. Because the power they have, they may only control the Congress by a few votes and possibly the Senate by one. But I have no faith in any Republican efforts. Do you see the Republicans fighting in Georgia? I don't.
I know. I don't. I see them very, very, very quiet. And it really should be the tell, right? Because that should really open up people's eyes to how quiet they've been, and it's been sickening to watch. And I hope people's eyes are open, because the party is a business, and honestly, it's been this way for a long time, but now it's more blatant than ever. Just like the fraud is more blatant than ever, is that you've got really one party in Washington.
Well, generally, when they're open about what they're doing is when they can't be reversed. And I think that's the danger here. The reason they're so mm-hmm. open about all this is because they don't fear. They're not the least bit afraid of any serious adversary that's going to stop them. Not the courts, not the companies, not the American people, not the Republican Party. Milty, what do you think about all of this?
I think the United States is being controlled and run by the media, the tech companies, and a bunch of world globalist oligarchs. Mm-hmm. And it's all over.
It's all over?
That's exactly right. Because how do you shake that out? Mm-hmm.
You don't.
You can't. I mean, we've got three or four generations of badly educated kids, critically thinking completely backward, who don't even know what we're giving away here. My students don't know what we're giving away. I think I told you this anecdote where I had a kid come up to me afterwards, and she was comment I made in class, and she said, "Give me one thing, just one thing that Donald Trump did that isn't illegal or embarrassing." And I said, "Well, it's nice to finally have somebody as president who's sticking up to the communist Chinese." Uh-huh. And she started visibly shaking. And she said, we cannot attack China. We can't go after China. China's too powerful. And I said to her, "You're a social justice warrior. All I heard out of your mouth all semester is how evil America is with the way we treat people. And you do realize that the China Communist Party is the most bloody party in the history of the world right now. I mean, they're killing people left and right." She said, "It's not our business. We have no right. We do not dare to call them out." So she's bleeding, literally bleeding over what social justice warriors tell her about how bad African Americans have it in this country, and yet the same voice and the same mind, she is utterly unable and unwilling to even attempt to help those who are suffering under the boot of communism. All in the same little brain of a college junior.
Jeez.
Throughout history, when this has happened in other countries and other civilizations, people like her don't wake up until it directly affects their lifestyle.
Yep.
And then they wake up when it's mm-hmm. too late.
But the difference is that unlike previous generations that might have remembered what the founders said or what the values of liberty or a constitutional republic are, she has no illusions now that there was ever anything good. She might not like where communism goes, but she will not even recognize that what we had here was the answer. That's what gets me. Mm-hmm. It's not like these kids can wake right. up right away and recognize, shoot, they're incapable of seeing that now.
Yeah, and we're murdering the people that are sitting in nursing homes that do understand history and do understand who we are. They're getting rid of them very, very quickly.
They are. And,
wait, go
and
ahead.
Not only that, but it's our fault. We allowed this to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to rename you guys Gloom and Doom, and we have to have some hope here, and I do believe in miracles. I do believe that we could still be in for some shocking surprises. I do. There's something, I don't know, my gut says we could be in for something surprising, but we're going to come right back on the Kate Daly Show. We'll talk about all the things afoot going on right now, and yeah, a lot of it's really scary, and I don't want to dampen everyone's holiday, but or feel like you have to jump off the nearest bridge, but we do. There's some things on both sides, hope and not hope. We'll talk about it all. I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Of our dear Savior's birth.
Hi there, welcome back. And that star will shine on the 21st of December. Really amazing. I love the song, O Holy Night, Josh Groban. and welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. In fact, get over to Balance of Nature. This is a perfect time to grab a hold of that deal, 35% off and free shipping. Make sure that you're getting to be a part of this, because you need a food supplement, and we've done enough shows on our food supply for you to understand why. And if you're going to choose one, I would choose Balance of Nature, hands down, no question, because it's the most amazing food supply, or I'm sorry, food supplement that I've seen. Go to balanceofnature.com. You should be taking this every day. Order some for a friend. Get 35% off and free shipping. And all you have to do is put in my name, K-A-T-E, Kate, and you'll get the special. Please do this, because I'm telling you, it's needed. Our food supply is in trouble, and it's only going to sink further. So please, please. All right, welcome back to the show. I've got Uncle Milty, and I've got Dr. Duke Pesta from the Dr. Duke Show. Tell people how to find your show, Duke.
Well, they can watch it on your site,
yes,
Kate, generously,
on,
after the show,
the
your website.
Mm-hmm.
But it's free of charge, and it's easy to access. Any place you could go to get free podcasts, and there's a whole bunch of organizations that have different groups and apps. We are absolutely free, 5 days a week. We give you the worst news about what's happening in the educational system and a way, hopefully, around it, if that's something that you want. And so the Dr. Duke Show, we appreciate it if you watch. Go ahead and become a follower. And it's free and easy to watch.
It's a fantastic show, and there's nothing else like it. They are so unique. This is why I love to make sure people are tuning in on your show. Okay, so we were just talking about faith off the break, and where is our faith, and where does this lead us, and what does the next 5 years look like? You know, you were talking about the fact that we've turned away from God a long time ago, and the reality of what we're up against now.
Yeah, I want to make it clear to everybody out there, I'm not despairing. I'm not, you know, ready to go throw myself out of a skyscraper window like we did with the stock market crash in 1929. I believe in God, and I know how the story ends. I know how, in the end, good wins. And I'm trying to be on the side of good as much as I can. However, as far as constitutional republics go, Republican forms of government go, we've had more than our fair share. I mean, they almost never last 200 years, let alone 240. We've gotten more out of our republic than perhaps any other country that tried it. And so the fact, though, that the founding fathers were right, this experiment was only going to last as long as we were a moral people and an educated people. We have become, really, in many respects, our intellectual class, our educational systems, our corporations, we've become terribly amoral or immoral, and we have failed to educate our kids in the value of what we were trying to give them. We have current generation of kids have rejected Christianity at a rate no other group of kids has ever done it. We are becoming less Christian every 5 years. The churches have chosen, most of our churches, Catholic and Protestant, have chosen social justice warriorhood over the hard truths of the gospel and faith. We have farmed our kids out to public schools who've told us for 50 years that our values are not your values. We are not going to teach your values as families or as religious people. We're going to teach secular progressive values. And we've done nothing to stop it. 90% of our kids are still in public schools. That's generation after generation of kid you've sacrificed on the altar of Baal, right, when it comes to worldview and belief. It's just caught up with us now. And look, we know, right, in the same way that the mantle has passed, right? There have been lots of countries that have tried, that have been Christian countries in the past. Look at Europe. Europe was the seat of Christianity for 1,500 years. And when they gave it up, what happened? God left. He found us, right? We found him and he found us. Now it's leaving us. And the question is, Christianity is not going to die. It's going to be much more persecuted. Mm-hmm. But I've said this from the beginning. If you know anything about the history of Christianity, Christianity is a religion for persecuted people. It is not really a religion for incredibly wealthy people and comfortable. Christianity is not the religion of the comfortable. And we've chosen comfort way too much in the last 40, 50 years. Comfort, mm-hmm. It was the Pharisees and the scribes who were comfortable, and Christ told them exactly what was going to happen to them. We've had too much money, and we've had too much comfort, and too little suffering. And what do you get? I've read the Old Testament. I know what you get
when you choose those things over God, and we're about to get it. It would be foolish to pretend otherwise. Now, Kate, I hope you're right. Maybe on the 11th hour in middle of January that some magic genie bottle is pulled out from under a bed and this is all reversed. And if that happens, it's going to be a miracle and we'll praise the miracle. But right now, I think you got to be preparing for what happens now that the Titanic has hit the iceberg. The question is, what can you do and how can you, as best as possible, survive?
And we have a caller, so I'm going to have the caller in just a second. But on just what you said, too, you know, if something were to happen, let's say a miracle happened in at least actually looking at this fraud and validating what just happened, at least there is some sort of justice somewhere, somehow, that was served. And that right now is the only thing I can cling to, because when you look at the rest of the house built under, let's say, the head office of the presidency, it is all so corrupt that you can't just look at the seat of the presidency and say everything hinges on that, because the rest of the house is absolutely corrupt from top to bottom, bottom to top. Hi, caller. Welcome.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, caller. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to offer up something positive here.
Okay.
I'm not Pollyannish or whatever, but it is less than 2 weeks away till Christmas. And Trump's base and the Christianity, the world Christianity's base, let them celebrate Jesus' birth before you pull the switch. That is why I think they got everything in place. I don't think they cut it this close. I think they're ready to make their arrests and go through the lockdown for the people like the girl that Dr. Pesta talked about that started shaking. People like her won't see or allow themselves to see the good that happened if we win. But I think he's going to wait until after Christmas to let the world's Christians enjoy Jesus' birth. We could see action like the lockdown and the blank TV screen saying patience, you know, or whatever. But he said he's going to shut down the media, just whatever, the lockdown until we see what people can be saved and what ones will go berserk.
Okay.
But they're going to let us have Christmas. It's only, 10 days away?
Yeah. Thank you for that. Really appreciate the phone call.
I don't want to give you the false impression. That's why we came back with this segment. Look, I'm a Christian, too, and I'm looking forward to that. Nothing's going to change my faith in that. And I'm certainly going to enjoy my Christmas as much as I can. So I don't want you to think in any way, shape, or form that I've abandoned that aspect of our faith. I just know, though, that as an individual, my choices and yours, sir, religiously, are different than what the collective chooses. And what's going, I think the remnant of Christians will always be protected.
Okay.
We're talking here about the fate of the country, and that would require the kind of miracle, I think, collectively, that's only going to come if significant numbers of people turn back to the faith. That does not seem likely in the short term, definitely.
Okay.
And so, yes, let's enjoy Christmas. And if there's a post-Christmas miracle, then let's pray for it now and hail it. But we also have an obligation, I think. It's not logically consistent for us to all conservatives across media have been saying now for 6 months, if Donald Trump loses, it is going to be a devastating blow to the foundation of this country. And now all of a sudden that it's happened, pretend that it hasn't. Or now that it's happened, act as if though we were just exaggerating that. I think we all said it because it was true. And so on some level, pragmatically, I think while we can keep our faith and we can celebrate our holiday and our religion, we have to recognize, like I said, that countries, we have the history. Countries that know who the Lord is and then reject him collectively pay a huge price, and they lose the favor of God. And we've been doing this for a long time. Now, again, realistically, what can we do, for instance? Well, one thing I can think of right now is we have a moral obligation to protect our children as much as possible from the negative influence of out-of-control government. And so if as Christians, and 90% of Christians keep their kids in public schools, if you want to do something productive, then pull your kids out of those public schools. Take whatever the expense is, take whatever the sacrifice is, give your kids a serious Christian education and one that is based in liberty. If you're not going to even do that, and I guarantee you, not 1 in 100 of you are going to do it right now if you call yourself a Christian in this country. You are not going to pull your kids from those schools. And if you're not, then why would God intervene on behalf of your children when you won't even do that little thing? That's what makes me bleak about the future of the country. Just that alone. If every Christian in this country pulled their kid out of public schools, government schools, and gave them a serious Christian education, even if you have to do it every evening from your home after work, and taught them the real history of this country and the meaning of liberty, I think you could have your Christmas miracle in a couple of years. But again, ask yourself this question, Christians. How many of you Christians out there have given up your Facebook and Twitter page? I'll bet you not one in a million. I'll bet you not one in 100,000 of you are willing to give up Twitter and Facebook, who put their – they didn't just put their thumb on the scale in this election. They leaned their entire bodies on the scale to disenfranchise you, but you're still using their products. That's why culturally it seems bleak, because we won't even stop using Twitter. We won't even pull our kids from the public schools. Where's the – where in that kind of a situation can we expect a Christianity that's going to be blessed?
You know, to go back to the caller, he made sense to me in that if I have any hope at all, it's to believe totally that it's all over means that there are no true patriots left in the country. And I don't believe that. Half the country is Christian. They might not be great practicing Christians, but they believe the basic tenets of the faith. A lot of patriots exist. If our government was totally devoid of any patriotism, the president could not have accomplished what he did accomplish in those 4 years. So there has to be a cabal of patriots working on this that may very well be waiting until Christmas is over to let it go.
Okay, let me take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You have about a minute. Go for it.
Okay, Kate. Hi, this is Jerome Bedura.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Great, great program today.
Thank you.
And here we are. This is what amazes me. And that's why I'm so frustrated, too, with this whole mass thing. Here we are as, you know, my faith is the Latter-day, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And what's amazing to me is we talk about faith all the time. And I'll tell you, I'm so frustrated. Well, you know, the temples are shut down. It says for live endowments, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But even then, well, you're wearing a mask in there.
Right.
Where is faith?
I have no idea. I'll tell you something. We are in a crisis, and I agree with Dr. Pesto. We have been part of this crisis, building the crisis for a long time, and then we go, oh, we're in a crisis, and we wonder how to get out of it, but we've built it. We have built it. And so I agree with you, Dr. Pesta and Uncle Milty in that. Yes, we have. But there are a lot of people, if they wake up, is there a shot at changing any of it?
I honestly believe that God will protect the remnant. He said that. So even if only 10% of the country is authentically Christian, 20%, and we stop voting for Republicans and create a different party, we commit ourselves to self-governments, we commit ourselves to his hands, we go about living Christian lives on a much publicly diminished scale because of the hostility, he's going to protect us. The more we're persecuted, the more he will protect us. But are we willing to sacrifice our comfort for that? Again, it's going to be hard to educate your own kids. It's going to be difficult to pull them out of the culture. But moms and dads are doing it all across the country. Can you go without Twitter and Facebook? I can. Can you?
We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. Hard questions. Be right back.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
A beautiful rendition. Wish I could play the whole song. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. And I have Dr. Pesta, Dr. Duke Pesta from the Dr. Duke Show. I also have Uncle Milty with me. And no, we're not wanting you to jump off the nearest bridge. we have Christmas on the horizon. This is a great time, though, to take stock in who we are and what we stand for. Because coming up, there are going to be hard decisions, and there's going to be the uncomfortable, and there's going to be things as Christians out there that we need to be doing or not doing anymore. And I think really that's what we're saying here, is that we've come to a point where we could talk about a little hope, and we can talk about where we're at. And at the end of the day, no matter what, we better realize that we better take some stands for the things that are the most important. And it's not going to be easy to do. And we've never really been required to do it so far. And this is a great lesson.
Let me phrase it this way. Christ made it abundantly clear. I don't care how you read the Gospels. Christ made it abundantly clear that you have to choose between the world and him. The world we inhabit now is a godless, secular, anti-theological,
right?
Anti-Christian world.
The idols that we worship.
Yeah, that's right. You can't keep your idols and have him.
Yeah. You know what? There's a very big lesson in what you just said, and it really cuts to everything because it seeped its way into everything over the years. It's kind of like prayer. There is no federal law against prayer in school. Yet we have come to this thing that we think that that's what took place, and we think that we can't do things like this. We're going to have to really understand, A, our history, and B, the founders and what they envisioned for us, and to rededicate ourselves to not only preserving the republic that we pretty much lost at this point, but also to firm stand in Christianity, because this is next on the altar. I don't think Christians realize how much is in store for them if we don't take steps right now to preserve this, right?
Well, you know, let me go back to the school metaphor you just gave us, the example, right? That, mm-hmm. that there is no law barring prayer in school. That's exactly right. But not only are we not praying in school, no longer are our kids praying in school. How you look at what's happening here. It happened under Obama, and now it's happening with Kamala Harris. You have teachers, public school teachers, who are forcing our kids to sing what are effectively hymns of praise to Obama and now Harris. Mm-hmm. Just like you had those creepy songs when Obama was elected, right? Mm-hmm. Where you had these little kids who don't even know what they're singing about on public school time, singing about how Obama's going to fix it, Obama's going to go and lead them. Yeah. Now you've already seen young black kids in inner city schools taking time out of class where they should be learning how to freaking read to sing paeans of joy about Kamala Harris being the first black vice president.
Yeah.
This is what they have turned our public schools into temples, but temples of secularism.
Yes.
Yep. And we've had the tour of Baal. I mean, what is that? What is that internationally? In America, when you really take into account what's been really going on versus what we think, and now we're finally hit with all of this in the way that the world is right now, and it's going to be too hard to ignore where we've fallen to. But let me take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You've got about a minute. Go for it.
Thanks. Hey, just a little bit of history to remember, and I'm sure that both of you are very familiar with this. The story of Hanukkah. So if we look at the Jewish faith and the Jewish traditions, what did the Jews give away slowly, bit by bit, when the Greeks took them over, right? Mm-hmm. They were convinced, they allowed themselves to be convinced that their traditions, that their teachings, that they were not good, that they were evil and wicked.
Right,
and
right.
So they had generations that turned away from those good and wonderful things that had made them prosperous.
Yep.
And that's exactly where we are right now in America. We have allowed, so to speak, Zeus to come into the temple and be plunked down by the Romans and be told, you can't pray, you can't do this, you can't, or otherwise you're evil. And everything that your traditions are founded on is evil and wrong.
Yeah.
And what had to happen? They had to have somebody stand up, a leader stand up, and it was a family, thankfully, but they pushed back those people, and finally they were able to get back into their temple and get their traditions back up and running, and then the miracle happened. Miracles only come after the trials of faith, and that's where we are.
Right. Thank you for that. Really appreciate that. Dr. Pesma?
Yep. It's a great point, and that's why I brought up the Old Testament in the last segment. That's not just Hanukkah. The entire history of the Old Testament is that God blesses his people, then they wander away from him, then he punishes them. They repent, come back, he blesses them. Then they wander away. That's not just Hanukkah. In fact, perhaps the earliest you see it is go all the way back to when they want a king, right? When the Israelites, you got the prophet who can't, he's trying to talk the Israelites into worshiping the one true God, the God who brought them out of the Exodus. And they all of a sudden demand of the prophet that we have a king. We want to be like all the other nations, Israel says. We want a king. And when the prophet goes to God, God says, give it to him. They have not rejected you. They've rejected me. Give it to them. Let them, God says, he warns them. But if you do this, then your children will be raised in their ways. Your women and children will be taken from you, and they will be raised in the way that the Gentile kings oppress their people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the same story. And so she's exactly right. There is salvation. There is the possibility of a return to this kind of what we used to have as a Christian country. But again, the only way it happens, as the Jews did in the Old Testament, is if you give up the idols, right? Mm-hmm. I go back and ask the question, what idols are American Christians willing to give up? Are they willing to give up their cable TV? Mm-hmm. They're not willing to give up their public schools. They're not willing to completely give up their sports teams. They haven't given up Twitter and Facebook. I mean, these are the idols that absolutely destroyed these ideas in this country. So if she's exactly right, but that there has to be choice here and there has to be sacrifice. I said this the other day. I said it just earlier. We are so comfortable. We became so rich and so prosperous under the blessing of God that we forgot what it was like to choose him. When George Washington kneeled down and prayed on Thanksgiving Day, he was praying literally for the lives of his troops and the survival of patriot-minded Americans. Everything was on the table. What are we praying for?
Right.
This is one of the few times since then, perhaps Civil War was another one, right?
Yep.
It's one of the few times since then where it's all on the table now. And what are we willing to sacrifice? Well, in the Civil War, we sacrificed over 500,000 American boys to do it. What are you willing to sacrifice now? Again, if you can't even take your kids out of these corrupt schools that are destroying the minds of your children.
Yeah, great points.
Well, we've been taught very carefully now that we're willing to do anything as long as we don't offend somebody.
Well, we have a caller. Yeah, that's so true. We have a caller. But, you know, on a national show like this, what's very interesting, international, too, is that to talk about God is it's a tiptoe walk now because of the way that we've been taught. Oh, don't offend. George Washington talked about God every 5 minutes, every 5 seconds. It was about God. And that's why when I read his speeches on air, it's almost like our ears are not used to hearing it because we've been so conditioned against it. But let me take a caller, and then I want you to comment on that, Dr. Pesta. Go right ahead, caller.
Yeah, I think a lot of things that we have to realize, like you were saying about opting out, that's very important. And what they're going to do is to control you. In the future, you're going to have a social credit score that's going to affect your ability to get all kinds of that things in your life, literally a job.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Know,
5 years ago, they told us we were crazy. About
I want to see what you posted on Twitter, and then we'll determine if you're a good fit for our company.
No, it's that.
Are you a good
truth.
Fit for getting a loan? Are you a good fit for living in our neighborhood? Are you a good fit
for health care? For health care.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Go right ahead for health care too. Yeah,
we are. That's the whole point of Obamacare and national socialized medicine, right? We're willing to pay for your quote unquote pay for your health care, but you gotta join the team, man. You can't have that. And I think what the caller was saying was right to a degree. He says, look, they are gonna come after us. And at that point, but even the way that was phrased, are we more afraid of the government taking away our health care? Are we more afraid of the government forcing us to not be able to get the job we want because we're openly Christian? It seems to me that the Christians, or the Jews for that matter, that God blessed, were the ones who were willing to risk those things. When David was in the foreign country, when Daniel was in the foreign country, he would not eat the king's food.
Yeah.
The king, we'll eat vegetables, and he thrived, right?
Right.
You cannot, my point to you at the end of the hour here is if there's one lesson of the Bible and if there's one lesson of Christianity, it is that you cannot keep hold of your worldliness and have as you can't. You have got to suffer for those things. You have got to, at a time when times turn bad like this, you have to be a Christian first, and you have to be a person of the world second, third, or fourth.
Yeah.
And if that means real sacrifice and suffering, mm-hmm. that's where blessing comes from. Out of that, God acts.
Okay, Uncle.
I don't think people even think that way anymore.
Mm-mm.
They're not afraid of the government taking away their health care. They're just afraid of the government making them pay for it.
or not giving it to you free, right?
Yeah.
So in other words, we don't even see things like national health care or the corrupt anti-religious nature of the public schools. We don't even see them as a problem anymore. Of course, as a Christian, I'm going to send my kid to public school. Of course, I'll do whatever it takes to get free health care. That's my right. So that's right. We don't even think biblically anymore,
nope.
is my point. How can that be blessed then? How can a country where a majority of Christians no longer even think mm-hmm. Christianity, mm-hmm. think in Christian ways, how does that country find salvation from God? It doesn't. Mm. It goes away like all the other ones have. And I'm okay with that. I mean, what was the guarantee that America was going to lead the world forever? There's never been a nation in the history of the world that has. These torches come and they go. And the light burned bright when God was at the center of our culture. And the more we've removed him, the darker it gets. That is a historical lesson that we're about to feel in earnest.
Yep. The more we removed him and the more we grew government at the same time, and government became the God. And so, so here's the big multi-million dollar question. How do you maintain hope, knowing where things are going? If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, which I am, and believe in Christ, if you know what's going to happen, and we kind of do, how do you maintain hope, Dr. Pesta?
Hope is in Him. It's not in the world.
Yep.
Hope is in Him. It's not the world. And we have made Him subordinate to the world. We'll be Christians as long as it doesn't cost us anything. We'll be Christians as long as it doesn't mean sacrifice. Mm-hmm. We'll be Christians as long as no one gets mad at us for believing Christian things. And if people get mad at us for believing Christian things, like the LGBTQ people, the trans people, the racial agitators, we'll side with them, not with Christ. We are embarrassed. Western Christianity is shamefully embarrassed about the teachings of Western Christianity, which is why none of us stand up for it. The Pope's a social justice warrior. He's not concerned about individual Christian life. He's on board with the global warmists. He's on board with the borderless globalists. He's a globalist. Right? Mm-hmm. So where are you hearing the gospel of Christ preached? From Joel Osteen and the prosperity gospel, mm-hmm. guys? Mm-hmm. The more God loves you, the richer He's going to make you.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not how it works.
Nope, not at all.
Where do you see it? So you're exactly right, Milty. We are a nominally Christian country, a nominally majority Christian country. Most of that majority does not think in Christian terms. But in a way, it's almost hard for them to have done it. How long has it been before Christians in this country really suffered for their faith? Been a long, long, long time. We've gotten used to the notion that Christianity can be something we trot out on Sundays, or maybe on Easter and Christmas we'll trot it out, along with all the secular traditions of Santa Claus and Easter eggs, and we'll buy new clothes, we'll call it Christianity, and we move on with our largely self-involved lives. That was never meant to last. Every enemy of Christianity in the last 2,000 years did that. And you said it, Kate, as we have been withdrawing from God and what it means to stand up from God and God's word, the more we've been growing government. And so this shouldn't be controversial from a biblical perspective.
Right.
This is what's always happened. And if you call yourself a Christian and you understand the Bible, you clearly have to recognize that. And yes, maybe even realize there's hope yet, but that hope is not in human things. Mm-hmm. It has to be in Him. Right. And that means you can't call upon Him for salvation and keep going to the other guy's temple all day. That's the temple of secularism all day.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Duke Pesta. Yep. Love it. Thank you.
God bless you.
You too. See you next week. And of course, we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. You're not going to want to miss a second of today's show. I'll be right back. KateDalyRadio.com.